Welcome to Changing the Narrative with Dina Eccles. As a citizen and as an advocate for sustainable peace and justice, I was pleased to be invited into a conversation about billboard messaging with Veterans for Peace. Veterans for Peace is a national organization with Wisconsin branches. Nationally, a billboard campaign has begun to raise public awareness on the constitutional responsibilities of our military. It's also being used to encourage military personnel to uphold their duty by refusing unlawful orders when necessary. This timely issue deserves our attention. My guest in this episode is perhaps one of the most qualified to address the issues of duty, loyalty, morality, and laws surrounding the right to refuse. He is Reverend David Cooper, an Episcopal priest, a retired police chief with a 33-year career, and served as police chief in Madison from 1972 to 1993. He's a veteran of the United States Marine Corps and a graduate of the University of Minnesota. His life has been dedicated to principles of peace, justice, professional ethics, community-oriented policing, and government accountability. An author of four books on police management and reform, he also maintains a blog on improving policing. Today, as a longtime member of Veterans for Peace, we will discuss, among other things, the billboard campaign and all the ramifications that may come with it. So welcome, David, and thank you for being here.
My pleasure. Glad to be here, Deanna. These are important times, and this is an important discussion, I think, for all of us to engage in.
Very timely, very timely. We're recording here on the 5th of July. So let's talk a little bit about who are the Veterans for Peace. I understand that there's 100 chapters in the United States and overseas since 1985. And I was particularly touched by the mission to abolish war as an instrument of national policy.
It's a big one.
Yeah.
Well, it's also a big theological one, is that because that's what the new Pope of the Catholic Church is talking about in his recent encyclical on magnificent humanity. It talks about that the old standards don't apply anymore about just war. And we can talk about that later. But Veterans for Peace is something that I was looked at. You know, there were a lot of veterans organizations against the Vietnam War, against this. And what attracted me to Veterans for Peace a number of years ago was the idea that we can be veterans for peace. And that probably most inscribed upon me in 1958, when I was member of the Marine Detachment guarding the nuclear bombs on Eniwetok Atoll in the South Pacific. So I'm probably one of the few remaining people around that actually put their hand on a nuclear bomb and considered this thing that was on these barges that we protected. And then, having watched, I think, six or seven various nuclear tests, just saying the futility of war. I mean, no matter how well the Marine Corps trained me as a rifleman and as a sergeant leader, what could protect me from a nuclear blast? Mm. And then some years later, I was able to bring my family to Hiroshima, and we visited the Peace Memorial there. And in reading John Hersey's book on Hiroshima, those are really major movement points in my life.
Right, and those come along and they do change us. I feel the same, and that's why I was very happy to have you, because I knew we were going to be kindred spirits on these things. So there's a thing that I think a lot of people aren't aware of, that it's called the Uniform Code of Military Justice. Now, obviously, all military personnel are aware of it. But I think a lot of others aren't. Would you help us understand that uniform code?
Okay, so what we're talking about here is an actual basic teaching to all recruits in the military, including our National Military Leadership Academies at Annapolis and in the Air Force in Colorado Springs and at West Point, is that you, as a member of the military, cannot use the defense that was used in Nuremberg after World War II, that you were only following orders. Just that is not a valid defense anymore. So it really put everyone on, it was in the military, understanding there. Now, that does not mean frivolous things, like, oh, well, I just didn't feel like doing this. It really has to be a basis of something that was clear and substantial, morally against. So if you're a brand new minted member of the German military in World War II, and you were assigned to Auschwitz, and your job was to herd people into the ovens, what Nuremberg said, it's clearly immoral, regardless of what your leader said, that we should not do these things. And so that was replicated also for us in My Lai, when Lieutenant Calle, who used this defense, was I was only following orders, that he was convicted. And we have certainly numerous examples of this in the Nuremberg trials. But there are a couple of present things today that are quite concerning, at least for me, and that has to do that our Caribbean actions so far, for many years, the way in which we handled drug smuggling, which is, as a lot of people point out, it's because of our insatiable appetites for drugs, but nevertheless, to have some enforcement of that was done by the Coast Guard. And the procedure was to interdict these vessels. And some of them were very creative. They had submarines that were just a few inches above the surface with an air tube. Very creative. But we would stop. We would arrest the people there that were there. We'd take statements from them. We would confiscate the drugs, and we would do tests to see where they come from and what they're doing. And we'd have a chance to get some important intelligence information. You've got a crew of four or five people on a boat. Probably all of them aren't so committed to the narcotics industry and would be willing to talk to us. So that was a great bit of information. And they would find themselves either in charge and put into a U.S. prison, or they would be sent back to their country. Okay. So now it's sort of like summarily, we see a boat. We don't see for sure or have any intelligence that seems to be being presented today that these are in fact narco terrorists, which is the hook that's being laid here. So if a military person says, okay, we didn't do this anymore, I don't think we should kill these people, and we certainly shouldn't try to kill them when they are floundering in the water after our first strike and kill them and destroy. So we've had 200 some people killed under these. So it's going to be difficult for that missile operator sitting in a ship someplace to get an order saying, these are narco terrorists coming in to attack our country, push the button. It is tough because of technology now. It's like a drone pilot in some place in Colorado flying a drone in Afghanistan or in Iraq and selecting a target. And we know targets get mistaken, as was done in this current warfare, hitting this children's school outside of the Republican Guard headquarters. Yeah, so
In Iran.
in Iran, yes. So they demand some kind of discussion, I think. And we also saw that another example that I'll talk about that when I come up there and have a talk on the 15th. Is it Abu Ghraib? And the idea was, well, the CIA told us to soften the target so we could interrogate these people because, they're gonna bomb another building, take another building down. But they were forced to do some very unmentionable things to prisoners there that they were also convicted there. They also used the defense, my commanders told us to do this, but it's the it's the moral weight each of us carry on our shoulders. Is this the right thing to do or not? And so that's the problem where, and we know that when people come forward, just as Senator Kelly did just a few months ago, and other veteran members of Congress, he was threatened with losing his pension and being persecuted and prosecuted for saying it's the job of military personnel not to follow legal orders.
Right, we're talking about Major Kelly, right? No?
Yes, no, you can't.
Senator.
Yeah, Senator and Navy Captain Kelly, astronaut, war veteran, U.S. Senator.
Right. And he and I think there were like five other veterans who were also
Yeah,
legislators.
yeah, and the courts has absolved them. So, but I mean, I mean his income was threatened. He had to get a lawyer someplace to represent him. And you're thinking that all this stuff is going on that. Maybe the government could put me in prison for talking about the Constitution.
Right. And yet it was so important what they did because it's caused a lot of good thinking, good conversations, because this aspect that you've been talking about, the moral aspect, I think is something that's been lost, the blind allegiance to country or the
Yeah.
blind allegiance to what we're being told to do without our individual responsibility.
Yeah.
So very powerful thing for people to consider again, especially in this moment, I think.
And just recently, Pope Leo XIV just raised the standard. He said the old just war theories are not applicable anymore, and he said that war is never blessed by God. And then he also said that our technology makes decision making remote and killing impersonal, and that's exactly what's going on today, and that's why it's a little different than that kind of hands-on thing, or lining prisoners up in a ditch and shooting them by infantry people. It's a little bit more sanitized today in how we do our killing, and I think it makes it so morally important today that we as citizens, consider this. And the decisions that we make and who we choose to lead us.
Right, exactly. Because it's also on us, when I heard about the billboards, and a lot of people were saying, "Well, this is geared towards military personnel," but I felt like it's on all of us
Yeah.
because we have family members who are engaged in this way, and it, by the way, they come back affected, as you know.
Yes.
When they realize that the bomb, the drone strike hit wedding party,
Yeah.
when they learn about what has been done. This is really a hardship, and it's something that's going to impact many, many people.
Exactly. So I mean, say, well, really, how does it apply to me? Well, okay, so this radio station say, now we want you to have the story, but the story is untrue, and it's going to cause a lot of harm to people. It's really rumor mongering, and no, I'm not going to run this show. Well, you're fired.
Right, which is why I like being here at WDRT. I get to have people on that I'd like to hear from, and as long as we don't swear, we're okay.
That's right. As long as we don't swear like our elected officials, we'll be all right.
Right, and probably this is a good moment for me to tell everybody that this is Changing the Narrative. I'm Dina Eccles. It's my podcast. And my guest is Reverend David Cooper, and we're talking about the morality of war. We're talking about the importance of veterans for peace. We're talking about the billboard. We're going to be talking about the billboards that are being erected all over the country from the Veterans for Peace, and particularly the most recent request that came my way, which is why I got to meet David. Which is that there will be a billboard placed near Fort McCoy, and that's our hood, it's in our neighborhood. So Want to talk a little bit about that?
So there's been 20, more than 20 now around the country that have been placed on roadside, generally in well-trafficked areas, that either have a picture of the American Eagle or Uncle Sam saying you don't have to obey illegal orders. And I think it'll help to get the narrative going. It's like probably a lot of us haven't really thought about it, of being in the illegal order. I mean, that's really not our day-to-day existence,
Right.
but it can be very much so for our military people. And we just talked, I think you mentioned more recently, probably what's the most recent thing in the news today is Air Force Major Jason Watson being arrested. Okay, now that's not exactly what we're talking about, because the military people know that in uniform that you can't take a political position here, and he was violating that. This was not a matter of him ceasing or not obeying an order that was given him, but he had some political signs. Now he wasn't arrested until he got up on the Capitol steps, which has a rule that you can't do, only people of Congress can hear. So that's what he's arrested for.
Right. Let's back up, because a lot of people, I think, have not heard about this because I don't think it's really hit media, mainstream media.
Sure. Yeah.
And this was just a few days ago. I think it was the 2nd of July. And he's a 20-year major in the Air Force, Jason Watson. And he was with Al Green, legislator Al Green
Oh, that's right.
from Texas, and was on the Capitol steps. And my understanding is, as long as he's on the Capitol steps with the legislator, he's allowed to protest. When Al Green walked away, which I'm guessing was planned,
Yes.
but I don't know that. I'm
No.
assuming that. Then he was a, the, then the major was approached by police
Yeah.
a couple of times, actually, before they arrested him.
They did not immediately grab him. I went and saw a video of that. He's standing by himself, and he's saying, I think, I think arrest, indict, impeach, and we knew who he was talking about. So in many levels, that might not particularly go to the argument about following illegal orders, unless he says an order not to wear my uniform is illegal. Wait, but nevertheless, he is bringing attention to the fact that military people now have standing up on duty, sacrificing his pension as a 20 some year or 17 year veteran of the Air Force. That's pretty gutsy. Pretty gutsy.
Right. And apparently, I know that part that the press release that came out from Veterans for Peace earlier this year also quoted Mike Preisner. He's an Iraq War combat veteran and director of the Center on Conscience and War. And he said the number one thing cited by our callers, and he's referring to military personnel who are calling to learn about conscientious objecting.
Yes.
The breaking point for them was the US bombing of the Menab, as we mentioned earlier, girls' elementary school. That being the moment when they realized, I'm not going to take part in the killing of children.
That's very, and I dug a little bit into that. The defense is that the military was using older maps in which that piece of geography was part of the Iranian Guard, but still, when we send a missile into an urban area, we're going to get some civilian casualties. And the idea is that even back in the just war theory was the idea that no civilian casualties. And yet we see both in Gaza and in the Ukraine that we're seeing drones flying into residential areas and residential buildings being set on fire and people dying. It's kind of like, really, when I first saw that, I just wondered, well, how long is this bombing going to go on that involves civilian residences? Are the people hiding there all, do they have that many people? Is this an appropriate level of force to use in saying that, well, there's some people underground and there's some people that might be hiding.
And a lot of it, I mean, has at this point been disproven. But then again, it comes back to, and I'm glad that you've mentioned the Pope, and I'm so grateful for you that you take the position that you take, because our voices for peace and our voices for, quite frankly, common sense. I mean, we all live on this planet. I mean, what is happening from all of this military might, all of this bombing? We're also destroying the planet. The
That's right.
amount of pollution that's being, done now in Lebanon, is just, it's ridiculously cruel. And like I said, the reason I wanted to mention Major Watson is because when I mentioned it, I was on a call with the Veterans for Peace about this billboard, and people hadn't heard of it yet. Because it's my kind of my job. I don't get paid for it, but it's kind of my job to pay attention to these things.
To be informed, to be
Yes,
informed.
to be super informed,
That's right.
because that way, I guess I see that a lot of people, their lives are so full. The sponge is full, and it's hard for anything more to go in. So what I try to do is get as much information as I can, and then try to bring it with as much clarity and simplicity as I can. And that's why I'm always grateful to be able to have a person on the call like you, because we need our voices to be heard.
Well, and that this equally applies in my 30 some years in policing, is that as a police leader, I was very, very concerned in the job room how we are getting confessions, how we are interrogating suspects.
Right.
And remembering back in, it was the 1933 Wickersham Commission that was the first really commission to take a look at policing, among other things, in America. And talking about the third degree, that it was common practice to use pain to elicit confessions. And today, maybe we're not using thumbscrews today, but are we depriving people in custody of sleep and benefit of legal help in how we go about it? It's very important that we do this legally, because it has to do with the trust and the integrity of the organization that I was leading, and that no one should be able to say to a younger officer, well, that I do it my way, and you better shut up. But that kind of gets us to the whistleblower thing. I'll talk a little bit about that in later this month. But even though we have the federal protections against whistleblowing, it is still an extremely difficult act, even though there's all protections. It has to do with things that you might not have thought about. Yes, I'm protected here. I've got a lawyer. The law's on my side. But what does it mean to my career in the coming years? What does it mean about my social relationships? And this is an organization I've spent my life in. I consider this part of family, and they're being, taken out and excised from this. Being a whistleblower is an extremely, extremely difficult task, but so important in a democracy, in a free society.
And again, where I go looking a lot these days is into Substack. Because a lot of the reporters that I listen to are people who have been fired from or let go of in some way, mainstream media. And they're primarily people of color. They're brilliant. A lot of them are lawyers, and they're doing this independent work. And I so respect it, because you don't hear the kinds of things. And we need to, as a civil society, we need to understand what's happening in our name.
That's it.
It's
That's it.
just so it's a it's an ex it, I mean, it's painful time on many levels, but it's
Yes.
also an exciting time,
Yes.
because things like this billboard, which we still haven't really talked about yet, but it's okay, we've got time. But things like that are happening.
Sure. That as you mentioned this, we're talking about values and morality and everything. I would like to just raise up a very good interview this past week by Ezra Klein. in the New York Times with Brian Stevenson. It actually was an interview done a couple of years ago, and I think the Times put it up this past week because it is our 250th birthday. Brian Stevenson, a black attorney who wrote the book Just Mercy, is interviewed by Klein in just terms of the history of where we've gone from his perspective and the work that he's doing in Montgomery. And yeah, it's worth a listen to. It's just I'm very very enamored by Steve. They made a movie about that too. I forget there was a movie called Just Mercy.
Right.
And the work he has done for the last 20 some years, specifically representing prisoners who are on death row,
Right.
which is another right to life issue, but we can talk about that one about seeming to be, especially in Texas and recently this year, we're executing a lot of criminals, in which in fact Stevenson talks about he has had guards in this in the prison system say, do whatever you can. He's a good man. He's changed. He did something wrong. These last years he has been a model prisoners and he's helped other people. I would like to write an affidavit, but I can't because I'd lose my job. But
Right.
Mr. Stevenson, do the best you can.
Right. And this is the thing now. And again, this is why it's so important that voices like yours be heard, because it encourages people to be strong. Because these things are happening in every quadrant of our culture. I mean, look at what's happening in Wisconsin right now with ICE. And it's just they've just come through again, ignoring Milwaukee's orders, law, legal orders, not to be wearing masks, disrupting families, taking people who are legally here in this country. And if people don't speak out, if we don't help our neighbors, I'm very happy that to and I want to mention to everyone that ACT Wisconsin is you can go to ACT Wisconsin and learn about how you can help the people who are left behind when the breadwinner of the family has been taken away, in many cases now illegally. They don't often know where the person has gone, in what prison they're being held in, and they're in need and they're frightened. People are afraid to leave their homes. And so whatever we can do
You
to
bet.
help that,
Well, as a
ACT Wisconsin.
and as a former police officer, I can tell you that there are people that that are so the overwhelming number, it's somewhere around 8% of the so-called illegal immigrants in this country have a criminal record. They are few and far between. And let me be clear about that. I am all in favor of police cooperating with ICE to get a dangerous person off the street, but that's not what's going on. And we saw that in Minneapolis. And as a former police officer, to see the videos and seeing some investigative reporting that was done in the shooting of Alex Preddy
Ready, yeah.
from four or five different angles of cell phones, is that it was in fact an assassination.
Correct. Correct.
And also, of Renee Good, as to how that was. We have taught police officers for years, don't stand in front of a car with your gun out and say, stop, you're putting yourself in danger. Get out of the way. Get out of the way. And we sit here today, no one, as best I know, have not charged these
No.
officers with murder.
No.
With
Right. So
murder.
this moral, again, this call to morality is so very, very important. And I'd like to also shout out while I can, that Wisdom Wisconsin is an organization I'm sure you're well aware of. They're having a gathering in Fond du Lac on the 31st and 1st of the 31st of July and the 1st of August, to be talking about all of these issues regarding immigration. And I definitely want to be there. I'm hoping to be there. And people can find out by going to Wisdom.
Well, I've spoken out quite strongly about this this past year, about the relationship between local police and sheriff's deputies and ICE. That first of all, that yes, they should cooperate in dangerous persons, but also they should make sure that ICE is not using administrative warrants to break into homes which are protected under our Constitution. That
Right.
they have a legally signed order by a judge. And I have also said that if local police and sheriff's deputies do not make it clear to the people that they are pledged to serve, that they are serving on their behalf, and that they will protect them from abuse and even death by federal officers. And that's been a situation that is not developed. I'm a member of a group of police futurists that I've been a member of for a while. And one of the things that in looking at the future is that we, and I clarified this, I was most worried about actually being a gun battle between local police and federal ICE officers over harming someone in their community. So in the long term, if it shows that the police will not protect everyone in the community, then policing a democracy suffers. The only reason we all get along together is that we basically trust and respect our police. It's still nationally, even police might do some wrong, but basically we tend to hold them at least above lawyers and a number of other positions.
Well,
But
that would be a definitely a show that you and I could do another time, because I might have a little different. I do consider myself an abolitionist, so we might have a little different. But let's not go there.
And I have a guy that's put half of his life in trying to improve police. And my blog is on improvingpolice.blog, and I think you'll find a lot of your ideas right
I think
there
right.
as
I
well.
think we can meet there. That's great.
All
That's great.
right.
So let me tell everybody again, if you're just tuning in, this is Changing the Narrative. I'm Dina Eccles, and my guest is Reverend David Cooper. He's an esteemed lover of peace, I have to say, and he's been a Marine. He has been a policeman. He's been the police chief in Madison. He's quite an advocate, and now for the Veterans of Peace. And we're talking about a lot of things, a lot of issues that really boiled back down mostly to our individual sense of morality and how can we help right the ship, so to speak. But now I'd like to take a moment at least to talk about again the billboard and the one specifically that will be going up at Fort McCoy. I believe July 15th is the date. There was a grant given to the veterans, the local Veterans for Peace, and they were able to put this billboard up. So you'll be able to see it somewhere up or close to Fort McCoy on 95. And yeah, so as you were saying about it, it's one of they sort of say active duty and National Guard. You have a duty to refuse illegal orders, and it says paid for by veteransforpeace.org, and it'll either have an eagle or Uncle Sam letting you know that this is something that you can do. So, what do you think about these billboards, sir?
I think it was a good idea. I hadn't really thought about that, and when some of my colleagues came up with this idea, we're gonna apply for a grant to help us do this. I thought, well, that's a great idea, and even though, as we said earlier, that it was targeted towards active duty and National Guard personnel, it really applies to all of us. That all of us as members of this democracy, this great republic, is that we realize that we cannot be compelled to do illegal things, and that's not the case around the world. So it's like, oh, isn't that normal? No, it's not normal. It's not normal, and even in this society, even when people stand up to do this, they put themselves at jeopardy. It's not an easy thing. There's all kinds of ways in which you can be retaliated against, and certainly, maybe areas not even considered in terms of how one's career is impacted by doing something this one.
Yeah, career, many things. It was interesting when Veterans for Peace called me and said, because I'm part of the Wisconsin Network for Peace and Justice, and our organization is up here in the Driftless, and they said, would you be willing to help us, to get the word out about this billboard? And I said, oh yeah. And they said, well, you should be prepared for a backlash. And I said, well, as a queer woman my entire life, I'm kind of used to backlashes. And I'm not afraid of that, because really what's more important than the backlash is who can be reached and the kind of thinking that could be introduced into the communities. Because, at the end of the day, people want peace. At the end of the day, people don't, I don't think we necessarily want to be and get engaged in war. I remember speaking with my father, who was a soldier in World War II, and I was young, and there was all kinds of John Wayne movies, and I was all pumped up by the wars and all that. And I realized that he had never talked to me about his experiences. I was pretty young then. And I was kind of like all revved up. Tell me about the war, and he was just like, no.
I don't want to know about the water, daughter.
He was just, and then, later on, as I grew older, we could talk about things. And then, of course, Vietnam happened, and I was against the war, and he was a good soldier. He was still thinking that, we were right to be there. But anyway, the point is that for all of us to consider the ramifications of, sending, and again, as we were saying before we started this call, here we are shortly after July 4th. And all of the, celebrations for what this country, the potential of this country, and the dream of this country. And then there are the realities of this country.
Yeah, that's right. The hope and the aspiration we have as a nation. We're not there. Just read that Declaration of Independence, that all people are still not equal. We're working on it. Everyone needs liberty, and we're all pursuing happiness. Some people are unhappy, but we're going to try to get more people happy. It's not something that's been accomplished. It's not making America great again. It's making America great. And we know where the pushback is going to come. For example, on this, there'll be people. I mean, there'll be people say right, just right, without even thinking that. Well, that's wrong. It shouldn't be. These people are anti-government or. Or the charge, we know where it's coming from because they called Senator Kelly that. You're seditious. And there's federal law that has to do about being undermining the government and being seditious and so forth. Well, this isn't seditious. This is calling us to our highest values, and we should celebrate that. We should celebrate that.
And this is a very important thing that you're bringing up, because this is a very important moment, because we could be called on that quote unquote backlash could call us all out, even though as James Baldwin very clearly said, I love my country so much that I'm willing to criticize it,
Exactly.
And so, again, to have you on, and I'm so grateful, and I will have to have more conversations like this, even if it's not on the radio. But
Yeah.
speaking of, you're going to be in Mauston, we didn't get to that part yet, on July 15th when the billboard goes up,
At the library at 6 p.m.
6 p.m. for discussion, questions and answers, and probably press. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
So I think the tough one is going to be, and I'm going to talk about this in my talk, but just kind of a little primer here, is the defense. Well, I refused. You refused an order because you believe it to be immoral and illegal, but your leader insists to you that it is legal and commanded you to obey. There, now that so then we get into the kind of the legality of this stuff. And the standard is something called a manifest unlawfulness. And that is, the law states the subordinate is protected and indeed obligated to disobey an order if something is that of a person of ordinary sense and understanding. So we're not talking about, weird concepts out of left field. We're talking about things that cause a person to be greatly injured or killed. I mean, we're talking about serious things, not because I don't like this law, because somebody cries when they go to jail, so I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. You can't do that. And in that case, so such as targeting civilians or bombing civilian vessels or violating domestic deployment laws, which was also found to be illegal in California, the leader's verbal assurance of legality is void on that. Now, a superior can't rewrite federal law or the Constitution on a whim. And we, if a person is able to articulate their legal and ethical basis at the time of refusal, not just saying, I don't have to say anymore, that becomes a shield in any subsequent review. And I'm not a lawyer, so, but I have checked this out legally, and I think what I've said so far today, I think is legally supported, and maybe people will disagree, and that's why we still have courts, and we still have juries. We can hammer this out.
And that's why we have conversation. That's why we bring things to one another to for consideration. Because go ahead.
And what's the name of this podcast? It's about change, right?
Changing the narrative, and that's what I really strive to do. Yes.
I mean, I changed in there. I got out of the Marines in 1960, all expecting to be called up for Vietnam, but as a reservist, we weren't. After I got off to active duty, I went to the reserve, and I remember. So I was at the university at the time. We have the teach-ins and things. We're talking about that. I was definitely in support of the military. I mean, it's the falling domino. I mean, we're gonna lose all of Asia. We have free people want to be free. Look where Vietnam is today. I mean, it's like, what's going on? My brother-in-law was there in 1962, and as an army supporting in the early days of the Vietnamese military, and he said, "I know at the time we're going to lose. We're just not going to win." And he had a chance a few years ago to go back to the places where he was stationed. And a lot of GIs have a sense of healing, in the sense of being, apologizing for what he did and how he saw things happen that he knew were illegal, shooting of prisoners, pushing them out of helicopters, all those terrible things that went on. So I was as a young Marine and just come off active duty. And it was a few years and that I that my narrative was changed.
Right.
Like, I've been listening to other people. Oh yeah, that's right. And oh yeah, and how does that? Oh, okay. Here, and then I had to come here to Madison and be the person that was charged with the police monitoring these demonstrations. And we had a chance to not use force against people all those years. Tw 21 years, we never had a demonstration go awry, because we're willing to listen to people and talk to them and understanding where they're coming from, and that we were not going to use deadly force or any type of force in stopping people from protesting. That became and So he said, "Well, how did you, a young guy from a small police department outside of Minneapolis in years, how did you get picked up?" I said, "Well, I thought there was a better way to do this than beating up students." And that became
And
my
thank
narrative
you.
has changed.
Thank you for that. And we need more of that. We need more people in a lot of elections are coming up for sheriffs and stuff. And maybe this is stuff that people should consider when they're getting ready to vote
Absolutely.
on
Absolutely.
how people conduct themselves and what is their core belief. You know, we can't be, it can't always be us and them. It has to be, we have to be
We the
willing to
people, we
listen.
the people, Dina. We the people, not you and I, not we the people. No. That's who we are. Oh, good. All
So I
right.
want to I want to remind everybody that this
Yes.
talk is called What Does the Uniform Code of Military Justice Mean Today? And David will be leading it Wednesday, July 15th at 6 p.m. at the Mauston Public Library. And it would be really good. Veterans, if you're listening to this, if it's the first you're hearing about it, it would be really good to have your support there. And because the billboard has been, the hope is for sure that the billboard will stay up until November. And also, there's a consideration for another billboard to go up on County Highway 21 near Toma and Sparta, around the same area. The grant was given to put up the first billboard. The second billboard, because of its location, was a lot cheaper. So if you wanted to learn more about these billboards and in any way that you would like to help financially or otherwise, it's
Sure.
the Veterans for Peace, Madison, P.O. Box 1811, Madison, Wisconsin, 53701-1811.
Yeah, that's very good. We also are looking to get a billboard in the Madison area too, by Truex Field. And let me also mention that you don't have to be a veteran to belong to Veterans for Peace. There are associate memberships. We ask everyone who has a heart for this and how we might help other veterans who work for peace. Yeah, I think it's a good organization to belong to. And as I said, you don't have to be a veteran. You can be an associate and get online and check us out.
Oh, that's a good point. And that's actually how I heard about you. The originally was from someone from Wisconsin Network for Peace and Justice, Judy Miner. She's an associate and loves your work. And I always have to give her a shout out. People of peace, you know, we need to stick together.
That's right. Right.
You
We
know?
could, but all we need to do is just try to get along.
Yeah, just and
Be
you know, you
kind.
said it in the kind, yes. Let kindness win. That's yeah, that's my blog. But you said it in the very beginning, and let's see if I can remember how you put it. Oh, that you weren't just against war, but that you were for peace. And I
Yes.
think that, that's the turn. That's the turn that more people will understand. When I first came to the Driftless area, and you know, there was all that going on that you were police chief for, and and the elections were happening. And I would say to the people in Madison, you know, look, if you're going to come here with anger politics, it's not going to work. People don't want to hear that stuff. But if we can be for something, before peace, before, you know, helping one another, that's where we need to go. So, and that's where we've gone. And that's where we've gone on this show today. And I'm thrilled. Is there anything else we've missed, forgotten, need to say?
Let's see. Let's see. I'm thinking of a song.
Okay.
All we are saying is give peace a chance.
Well, maybe if I'm sure there'll be some time left over, maybe we'll be able to play that song too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we'll overcome. Yeah.
Well, it's been a pleasure getting to meet you this way,
Oh, nice talking with you, Dina.
and
Enjoyed
we'll
it.
have to do it again.
All right.
And so, to our listeners, you've been listening to Changing the Narrative with myself, Dina Eccles, and my guest has been Reverend David Cooper, a veteran for peace and a proud supporter of the Billboard campaign that's going to encourage enlisted military to acknowledge their obligation and loyalty to the Constitution and to the Uniform Code of Military Justice, and to consider instead not obeying illegal orders. And it's also to all of us that we can learn again that we are we the people, that we have the say. We are the ones who can make the change that we really want to see happen in the world. And we do it by loving our neighbors, by supporting our enlisted officers and soldiers, you know, and allowing them, if they want to be conscientious objectors, allowing them, if they want to realize that the orders they're being given are not in alignment with their humanity, that they can say no. So this to me is a really, really important discussion. Thrilled to have it. here on our 250th, now going into the next time around, and maybe we can make it better for everybody. So thank you again.
All right. Thanks, Tito.